The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
ESRI, the Economic and Social Research Institute, believes that house prices are going to go up by at least 20% over the next 3 years, and possibly by even more than that. And that happens at a time when rents have gone way up beyond what they were at the peak of the Celtic bubble era. Ronan Lyons from daft.ie, property economist. How do we get to this stage?
I suppose the simple answer, and the extent that there is anything simple about this, is by having a growing population but a fixed housing stock. So over the last 5 or 6 years, we've had the population increasing, and that combined with a few other trends that are big picture, long-term trends like urbanisation and falling household size, they mean we need new homes built every year. But we haven't seen that built. The professional construction sector is probably adding 5,000 or 6,000 homes a year at the moment. We needed to be adding between 40,000 and 50,000 homes a year. That's the size of the gap. And once that fits into place, what we've seen over the last 5 years is a lot less of a surprise. It doesn't make it any better, but it's not inexplicable. We've done something wrong to our housing supply. It's broken and we need to fix it.
But you know, Ronan, I remember you and I doing an interview for a TV3 documentary I made this time 3 years ago, talking about exactly this. So why did government not do something to increase the supply of social housing, which would have taken pressure off the private sector?
Yeah, there's two things there. The first is fixing the private sector supply, and the second is fixing the social housing supply. On the private side, not a huge amount of money is required. So really it's about identifying the right things, but some of them, at least on the face of it, seem to be politically toxic. Nobody wants to make building homes cheaper because it looks as if you're giving money to developers. Of course, that's not true, but that's the way it looks. On the social housing side, it is about writing checks. It is the willingness of the taxpayer to set aside reasonably significant amounts of money in order to borrow to build social housing. That's what we need politicians to stand up and say, to sell to the voters and say, if you want this problem to go away, you need to write the cheque. We need to devote a couple of billion euro a year in order to provide the social housing this country needs.
Okay, excuse me the conspiracy theory here, but it does strike me, Ronan, that perhaps one of the issues as well here is that governments were worried about people in negative equity but in a bad mood. They wanted to see the property market reflate to lift people out of negative equity so they'd be happier. And at the same time, that would help repair the banks, which would have their loan books in better state. So in many respects, the government sort of was involved in this whole thing artificially depress supply, and that'll get the prices of the existing houses and apartments back up. Now, I've been too conspiratorial in thinking that.
Well, I think you're probably right about the first half of this decade. I think from 2011 up to 2014, the attitude was one of, well, sure, prices fell by probably a bit too much. And I remember Michael Noonan saying something along the line, when he was Minister for Finance, saying something almost verbatim along those lines. Well, sure, another 10 or 20% and things will be fine. But over the last 2 to 3 years, I think they've realised that this is potentially the defining problem of certainly this decade, if not this generation, in terms of being able to house our people. And I think they're a lot more alert to the problem now, and that it helps, I think, that there's a different generation as well. If you're, with the greatest respect to people who are in their 60s or 70s, they had very different housing market conditions. They benefited from a huge upswing in property values in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, most of which never went away. To have a prime minister and a housing minister and a finance minister, all of whom are in their 30s or 40s, I think at least generationally things have aligned. But you're right that there's many people out there who, when they vote, don't necessarily want to vote for a big increase in housing supply if that means property prices near them are going to fall and therefore their home is going to be worth less.
Michael Dowling's with us as well from Michael Dowling Mortgage and Financial Services. A few things. It seems that, for example, the restrictions on the amount that people can borrow and the 10% deposit required, they were still unable to get loans to buy a few years ago when prices were lower. So all of these young people in their 20s and 30s, how are they going to be able to afford houses now with prices having gone up so much and likely to go up another 20% at least over the next 3 years?
I mean, that is a challenge, and I think we may be faced that there will be a generation that may not be in a position to buy their own home. And these are young people with good jobs, well-educated, they're saving, but the problem is the prices of property are going up all the time.
And meanwhile, they've been ripped off with renting prices.
In a lot of instances, they're paying more in rent than they would be paying in the instance of a 90% mortgage, which is what typical a first-time buyer would borrow.
If they could find a house to buy with the mortgage they may have got approval for.
Look, and Ronan has said it, we've a lack of supply of second-hand property. We've a lack of, so serious lack of supply of new property. We've got people out there who are loan approved. They're not borrowing excessively. I mean, I think it's fair to say that there's no bubble in terms of the level of finance available, because it's not easy to get a mortgage. But their problem is that prices are increasing and their incomes are not increasing to make up for that gap in terms of the level of price increase.
Regina Mangan's with us as well, Director of Liberty Blue Estate Agents in Waterford. Sometimes we talk about the property shortage and the rental crisis as being a Dublin issue, but how bad is it in Waterford and other cities around the country?
Well, I suppose knowing the Waterford market the way I do, I can speak about that. At the moment, today, advertised on Daft, there are 43 properties to rent in all of Waterford City. 43. So that's a big problem, and our office receives between 150 to 200 inquiries a week for rental properties.
So where are all those people going if they can't find somewhere to rent?
It is a huge problem. If you go back to the point of people, first of all, who rent because they have to, because they can't get a mortgage, I would concur with that, because they don't have the salary scale to meet the price of the properties. Particularly people in their 20s and 30s. And also, there's a lot of people on short-term contracts, and people on short-term contracts aren't mortgage-friendly, sadly. So, and we're moving towards a more European model where a huge proportion of our population are continuing to rent, and that will grow. Like last census stated, 30%, and I'd say it's probably closer to 40% of the population are actually renting in Ireland. And there is no plan to house these people. And looking at the average rents, we did a little mini audit in my office earlier, and out of 275 properties, the average rent collectively is 718 euros and 20 cents. So we are like a huge way away from the rents in Dublin. I compare Waterford to New York, to be honest, as far as the rental market goes.
Okay, Ronan Lyons, I mean, are we hitting a sort of a structural shift, even if people don't necessarily want it, that younger generations are going to be left to rent rather than buying?
I think that's very likely. As Michael mentioned, if you look at equivalent properties, the rent now is often, particularly for smaller properties, the rent is significantly more than the mortgage, and that's true in most parts of the country. So it's much more difficult to save a deposit for a mortgage that's going to be cheaper than the rent that you're paying, even though you're paying the rent in the first place. So you've shown an ability to pay. That's not to say the macroprudential rules, the central bank's rules, are bad ones. They are good ones, but only in a system that overall works in terms of adequate supply of housing, both market and social. So we're going to end up with people who are in their 60s and have children who are maybe still at home or have gone off, and they're still renting. They never bought, even though it was always their hope or their plan to buy. And that brings up, of course, a pensions time bomb, that for better and for worse, owning your own home is a behaviourally neat trick in order to save a pension. At least you have that pot of wealth, even if you don't have another pension.
Okay, I want to go back to you, Regina Mangan, because something else strikes me. If the negative equity has been, at this stage, going away for the vast majority of people, there's an awful lot of people that call it the reluctant landlords out there, people who had properties that they were renting to try and cover their mortgage, but they weren't selling those properties because they wouldn't be able to cover the mortgage. They presumably, most of them now, in a position where they will be able to sell to clear their mortgage, but then whoever buys might be in a position to lump up the rent for the sitting tenants, or kick out the sitting tenants and put new tenants in at an increased rent.
I suppose going back to the debt, we have a lot of landlords who bought multiple properties and which paid north of 300,000 for these apartments. So So let's say a landlord who paid $350,000 for a two-bed apartment in Waterford, they could expect to realise $90,000 for that if they sell it on today. You know, so it's a colossal deficit from their investment. And we've seen a massive exodus of investors leaving the marketplace. And yes, there are new investors purchasing, but at a much slower pace. We just don't see that same appetite because of the tax regime. Yes, they're buying at a very well price, a good price now. So maybe a two-bed apartment typically in Waterford is 100,000 on average. And yes, they could probably gross a rent somewhere around 750. But by the time they pay all the tax and their agency fees and everything, they're paying to the tune of 60% of their gross income. So we don't have a tax-friendly regime, and I believe in the whole win-win system, whereby we need to look at secure of tenure for tenants, 100%, and then there needs to be an incentive for landlords to buy into the market and stay in the market.
Okay, just to finish with you on this, Michael Dowling, supply. It takes time to build houses, but what's your reckoning? I mean, I think Roland Lyons has suggested previously we need 50,000 new units a year. If there was that, do you think it's the demand actually for people to go and buy those?
I think the demand is there. There's no question of that. But I just can't see us delivering 50,000 units. I mean, we're a long, long way off that. And where the units are built isn't necessarily where people want to live.
And every time we have arguments that if we talk about building higher in the major cities, people object to that.
Well, personally, I think it's crazy that we're not building high, particularly in certain locations in Dublin. I mean, it is one way of solving the problem. Equally, it reduces the level of car spaces that are required because, we have this requirement that car spaces are required with apartments. I mean, if you're living in the centre town, you do not need a car space. I mean, let's be sensible about the requirements we have around planning and aspects like that. But we should absolutely be building high. It's one of the solutions to the problem.
OK, we'll come back to that another day. Thank you very much, Michael Dowling, Regina Mangan and Ronan Lyons for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.